Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Call into us today for your flu and COVID vaccines at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
In the last 10 minutes, Mary Lou MacDonald, the Sinn Féin leader on social media, has said, "We cannot have a justice minister who refuses to acknowledge the political failures that allowed our communities to become unsafe." She goes on to say, "Sinn Féin has been forced to put down a motion of no confidence in the Minister for Justice because this government is not listening." So we were waiting and wondering to see what Sinn Féin would do. That's confirmed in the last 10 minutes. They're putting down that motion of no confidence in the Minister for Justice, Helen McEntee, and we will bring you more on that a little later in the programme. Now, though, we're going to look ahead to some of the best TV and cinema releases for the month ahead. I'm joined in the studio by producer and director Brian Redden and Serena Bellissimo, film critic and host of the Bellissimo Files podcast. Now, you're both very welcome. We're going to start with something that people might have missed in the cinema because of COVID, because this is out a little while, but it's coming to Netflix. It's called The Many Saints of Newark.
Hey, Christopher, hello. Oh, what's the matter? Don't cry. It's only me, Uncle Tony. Oh.
What's wrong? Gucci, go.
Oh.
Okay, all right. You know, every time you hear him, he cries like this.
I didn't do anything.
Oh, what happened? Okay?
Look at that. I don't know what it is. It's like a scam or something.
Some babies, when they come into the world, know all kinds of things from the other side.
So you like this, Brian?
Yeah. Now, I think this is an interesting one because this is the prequel to The Sopranos. So anybody who's watched The Sopranos will want to watch this, right? The problem was it came out during the pandemic and it was supposed to have a big cinema release. It didn't. It ended up going to the streamers. And I think most people missed it. And it cost $50 million to make, but it only made back about $13 million. So it was considered a complete flop. But it's brilliant. It's a really, really good, it's a really good movie. And it got fantastic reviews. And it's really kind of filled that gap that The Sopranos left behind. So what happened is, after The Sopranos ended, David Chase always wanted to do something else with the series. But then, of course, James Gandolfini died. And he kind of thought, right, that we can't really replace that character. Like, you can't replace the actor, kind of another actor, play him, Tony Soprano. So what are we going to do? So they come up with this idea in a prequel and a genius move for casting. They got James Gandolfini's son, Michael Gandolfini, to play the young Tony Soprano. So what this is, this takes place in Newark in the late 1960s, early 1970s. And what it's a bit like The Godfather 2. It's kind of like the backstory of how Tony Soprano became Tony Soprano. So he's a younger guy in this, a teenager, as I say, played by James Gandolfini's son, played brilliantly. And his uncle is this kind of mafia boss, played again brilliantly by an actor called Alessandro Nivola, who's a really, really good actor. And he's really sinister and mean and awful in this. He's a mafia boss. And he kind of teaches and trains Tony to become the man he becomes, the man that we then see in The Sopranos. So it's an interesting kind of a backstory. And like I say, I think most people missed it in the cinema. Netflix have finally bought it and they're going to be showing it from the 7th of December on. And I think it's well worth a watch if you miss it. If you like The Sopranos, you've probably already seen it. But you know, but if you don't, even it stands alone as a movie in itself, I
right,
think.
Right, you don't have to have seen The Sopranos.
Yeah. It's also Ray Liotta. Like, Ray Liotta passed away not too long after making this film, so it's one of his last screen performances as well.
Well, we'll put that on the list. Many Saints of Newark out on Netflix on the 7th of December. Now, we're going to have a listen to a clip before we talk about this next one. This is Timothy Chalamet as Willy Wonka, allowing three chocolate snobs to try his hover choc treats.
Ooh. It's not just chocolate, is it? There's marshmallow.
That's right. Harvested from the mallow marshes of Peru.
And caramel.
But it's salted. With the bittersweet tears of a Russian clown.
Mm. Is it?
Surely not.
Cherry.
Cherry picked by the pick of the cherry pickers from the Imperial Gardens in Japan.
Mm. Well, Mr. Wonka, I've been in this business a very long time. And I can safely say that of all the chocolate I have ever tasted, this is without doubt the absolute 100% worst.
That's Wonka. It's going to be in the cinema from the 8th of December. So, Serena, I saw the ad on the side of a bus for this yesterday. I thought, do we really need this? Because the original is hard to beat.
It is hard to beat. Remember, Johnny Depp came back in 2005 and made his version. You either loved or hated that version. I didn't mind Johnny Depp's version. I was a bit cynical about this, going, oh, Hollywood, come on, let's do something different. And it's different because it's not Charlie and the Chocolate Factory again. It's the story behind how Willy Wonka became Willy Wonka. And I think having Timothée Chalamet in there is genius casting. You've got Hugh Grant playing an Oompa Loompa, which did cause some controversy because there were a lot of actors with dwarfism going, there's hardly any roles for us anyway, and then you go and give it to Hugh Grant. But what I've seen from the trailer, I'm so excited, Claire.
You think it's going to be worth it?
Yeah, and they had the London premiere during the week, and Timothée Chalamet said, I think this is a Christmas movie because I think it's joyful, it's hopeful, it's fantastical, it's huge, it's everything we want.
And it's definitely Christmassy, and I know in my house people are already saying, can we go and see this thing? So that's what we'll probably all do.
Cannot wait.
Fargo Season 5 on Prime Video. Brian, you think this is the best thing on TV for a long time.
Absolutely.
That be fair?
I'm telling you, it is so, so good. So, you know, the Fargo movie, the original Fargo movie ended up, you know, spinning off into a TV series. This is season 5 of it. And they're an interesting series because they're not really, they're not based really on the movie and what happened in the film, but they're in the same kind of ballpark area, you know. They have similar themes. It's usually a mad hitman. There's usually a weird murder has taken place. Usually a quirky cop going after somebody. There's all, you know, they all speak in that weird Minnesota, North Dakota kind of accent that's kind of half American, half kind of Swedish. You know, the yip and radio and all this kind of way of talking. It's very, very
bizarre. You do it so well.
But this one is really good. This one is the closest thing to the movie, I think, you know. It is so good.
And
the
each episode is a different, different story?
So this series, well, in each season is a different story. So this season has got nothing to do with any of the seasons, right? Nothing. Like the last season, I thought was the weakest, season 4, with Chris Rock. That was set during Prohibition eras in Chicago in 1920s. This one is set more or less in present day in Minnesota, North Dakota. Nothing to do with the previous seasons that have gone before. This is a standalone story. And what the story is basically Juno Temple, the English actress, actually, you might know from Ted Lasso, who I would never really have rated as an actress, but she is brilliant in this. She's really good in it. She plays this, you know, seemingly very innocent housewife who has, you know, who's married, this oddball character, has a young daughter, lives in Minnesota. But the very first episode starts off with this meeting, this parent-teacher meeting, where she starts tasering people. Don't ask why, but she does. She ends up being arrested and being fingerprinted. And as she's being fingerprinted, she goes, are these fingerprints going to go on the national grid, on some kind of network that people can check them out? And they go, yeah, why? And all of a sudden you're thinking, why is she thinking that?
Yeah.
As soon as they do, somebody finds her. And the guy who finds her is played by John Hamm. Now, he's a local county sheriff in the county next to him. Again, a very vicious and odd character. Turns out she used to be married to him. She's gone on the run. So he sends some goons to go and get her. Now, this seemingly innocent housewife, as Liam Neeson might say, has a particular set of skills that makes her, you know, a nightmare for men like them. So you suddenly realise, what's going on with this woman? She seems to know an awful lot about hand-to-hand combat, seems to know an awful lot about, you know, getting rid of guys who are trying to invade her house. And she's quite vicious and quite skillful. Mm-hmm. So as it kind of unfolds, you're trying to discover, what is her backstory? You know, she's obviously married to this guy. He's coming to get her. Why is he coming to get her? So it's quite gory. It's very funny. It's brilliantly acted. Every week, there's a new episode every Wednesday. And I just can't wait. Like I think it's the third, fourth one now. Can't wait for the next one.
Well, it's out now, as you say, the episodes that they've released so far, Fargo Season 5 on Prime Video.
Yeah.
Now, this next one, I'm really looking forward to talking about this because I started watching it last night. You've seen the film. You might have seen the film, The Squid Game, The Challenge. Was it a film or a series?
TV series.
It was a series.
Yeah, a Korean TV series.
So they've made a game show out of this thing. It's streaming on Netflix now. Let's have a listen.
I have an extra person in this game, somebody I know I can trust, and I don't know if everybody's gonna have their mom in this game. I don't think so, so I'm lucky.
Please, for the love of God, make it through this challenge for me, okay?
I will get through this challenge, I swear I will. I've been practicing.
Bend your knees, bend the useful knee that you have.
My mom, she was like a superstar athlete.
She's going to outlast me and embarrass me in front of all my family and friends. I have the coolest mom.
So that's Trey from Chicago, who's competing with his mother. They're among the 456 people who are trying to win this. What is it?
$4.56 million. It's real.
It is brilliant. It's addictive. I nearly didn't go to bed last night because I was watching it.
And you're so right, because when I heard about this, Claire, I went, okay, I like the series. This all sounds a bit morbid. And when you switch it on at the start, it is a bit morbid, because if you relate it back to the series, you're like, people die. Obviously in this, they do not die, but they do sort of fake kill them off. There's like, you know,
they spray them with black ink, don't they?
Apparently that black ink was under their t-shirts. Ah. And so they, once they were gone, that's what they sprayed. And some of them, I thought, hold on a sec, are we watching actors? Because some of them were so dramatic, but they're not actors, they're all contestants. And after that first initial, I don't know, I was like you, I was hooked. I watched five in a row. And then, so five dropped last week, four dropped this week. And yes, I have finished all four. The finale will be available on next Wednesday.
The 6th of December,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's so, so good. And it's the fact that you're watching, and yes, it's a game show, it's a reality show, it's a bit like Survivor meets Big Brother, because you get a bit of everything. But then it's all about people's character. Like, there's some of them who get into these moral dilemmas. Some of them you go, okay, this is how they'd face it. Then you're asking yourself, what would I do that in that situation? And then as it goes on, there's some pieces to camera, so you get to know the people. There's you connect with people. And then you go, oh, okay, this is a game, but they're being told off. It's so funny. And you end up telling off the people who are playing the game, but, you know, they're all going, but we should play as a team. You should risk your life for the rest of the team. But if that player does that, mm-hmm. they miss out on the 4.56 million. They're not going to split it evenly.
Yeah, I mean, and they say that over and over again. Every person you eliminate is an extra $10,000 in the pot.
You know? And you see it drop. So when someone is actually eliminated, they bring them all out and all this, like, a person is worth $10,000. It's all the games mirrored from the games in the show. You were saying yourself as well that some of the storylines are mirrored. Like, there's an older man.
Some of the characters seem to mirror the characters that we saw in the series, which is a really good idea. Are you watching it, Brian?
I've watched every bit of it. Well, yeah, I sat down and watched with the kids. And what's amazing about it is, like, it does pit, like, a guy against his mother, you know, a sister against sister.
The marble game. Have you watched the marble game?
I watched the marble game. But that was the thing. But it's a really simple thing. You're in a room. Yeah. There's a box of marbles. Do something with them. So something as simple as two guys saying, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Actually, the Irish guy's in there.
And one of you are going to be eliminated.
Yeah, one of you are going to be eliminated. The Irish guy, for example, is a good example. He just goes, do you know what? Let's just do nearest marble to the wall. That's it. So you've got a certain amount of time to do it. So all you have to do is get the nearest marble to the wall. That's it. Like, you pitch that. Go into a TV executive and pitch that. They'll throw you out of the room. No. But it's riveting. And you're going, that's all they have to do. But the clock is ticking down. And you know the guy who doesn't get the closest marble to the wall is gone. And he's out of there. You know?
And they're good friends.
Addictive.
Yeah, and they were actually friends. Yeah. Good mates. Yeah.
No, I watched an episode and a half last night. So the Dalgona game, where everyone's trying to avoid scratching out the umbrella from the honeycomb cookie. People who haven't seen this are wondering, what on earth are we talking about? If you haven't seen it, watch it. Watch the fiction version first, I would say, and then go to the drama. Yeah. Really quick word on Maestro, because there was so much controversy around this when we heard that Bradley Cooper was in this movie and he had used a prosthetic nose in the film. Now that the dust has settled on that a little bit, because his family said, Leonard Bernstein's family said it was okay, is the movie any good?
Yeah, I mean, everybody's raving about it. It's getting fantastic reviews. It's going to be amazing. Like, I mean, and like you said, the Leonard Bernstein family came out and said, come on, he wanted to look like dad, give the guy a break. You know, Bradley Cooper didn't say anything about it, but he's directing in it. He's playing the part of Leonard Bernstein. Interesting character, fascinating man. Carey Mulligan plays his wife, Felicia. So Leonard Bernstein was bisexual. So most of the film focuses on his relationship with his wife and his wife knowing, you know, what his sex life was like and how she dealt with that throughout their lives together, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's getting rave reviews.
And she gets top billing. So while it's called Maestro, a lot of people are saying it should be called Maestra because it's mainly about Carey Mulligan's character.
Now, bear in mind, both Martin Scorsese and Steven Spielberg wanted to direct this, right? And both of them passed on it and gave it to Bradley Cooper. And both of them are producers on it, right? So that's the level you're talking at. Mm. So your producers are Spielberg and Scorsese. And Cooper really showed his directing chops with
Stars Born.
There's
so much good stuff out this month. Yeah. The Slow Horse is the new season out as well on Apple TV, really which good. I really enjoyed the last one. That's it. That's all we have time for. Thank you so much for coming in, Brian and Serena. We'll take a break. Back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.